to and read our scriptures. It's good to see all of you out tonight. Remember to pray for our daughter-in-law, June. They carried her to the hospital just a little while ago. Wade did, and that's where Peggy's gone now to check on her. They had to admit her to the hospital. So just remember to pray for her, that the Lord would guide her in the birth of the child and everything would be all right. Just remember to pray for her as we pray tonight. Let's read our scripture we read this morning, Revelation 6. Well, we've read that so much till everybody ought to know it by heart of what the sixth seal is. Let's just drop down to the seventh chapter and just read a few verses of it. And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels, to whom it was given to hurt the earth and sea, saying, Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Now, that's the 144,000 we're speaking of this morning. We read off them, and just to save time, drop down to verse 9. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God, saying, Amen, blessings and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. One of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. He said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Let's just all pray together. Father, we thank you for an opportunity of gathering together again with your people, the purchase of your blood. We pray that you might open these scriptures unto us tonight, that we may see and know where we stand in this hour. We ask you, Lord, to be with June yonder in the hospital. We ask that the baby and June be all right, because we know in that then we have what we all desire, is health and strength and things of that order, Lord. Just guide us all. Be with us here in the service. Meet with us, Lord, in a mighty way. Break the word unto us. May we see the hour that we're living, the time, and know where we stand in Thee. Forgive our sins. Bless those, Lord, that are not here with us. And Father, as those that hear the tapes, maybe when they hear them, may they understand what we're trying to say. Guide us in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I hope all of us know that in reading the scriptures that we're reading, I hope I made it clear enough this morning that this group that we see of the people that come out of the Great Tribulation, that the scene we see is not just right at the tribulation. It's later, because this group of foolish virgins, they don't live through the millennium. They have to give their life for the gospel. And then they come up after the millennium's over with at the white throne judgment and receive eternal life. Now, we'll try to get to a little bit of that in a minute. But I'm hoping you see that you just read a scripture and people think, well, that scripture applies right there. You know, well, that's not necessarily it. It's got its place in order, that everything has to be in order. But I hope you saw this morning that we were trying to cover the redemption from the people that would be redeemed under the seventh, under the sixth seal, and how that we saw they received the 144,000. And the scripture there that we read said they have the seal of God. Well, then they have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and they receive that after we're gone. See, they get eternal life after we go out of here and God turns back to the Jew. And that gives them eternal life then. We saw that's the ones that's redeemed in the tribulation. And it's not that, as we were taught in the organizations and things, and basically most of them teach that there'll be a foolish virgin, they call it, or a tribulation people that will be saved during the tribulation. I hope you saw this morning that when redemption's over, it's over. There won't be any more Gentiles saved after the rapture of the church, because God turns back to Israel and goes to dealing with them, and there won't be any saved then. But it'll just be the foolish virgin will give their life for the gospel, and in giving their life for the gospel, then when they do that, we know that they don't get saved during that time. Whatever it is now when it ends. See, it's not that they'll come over there in the tribulation and they'll do this or they'll do that to try to help themselves. He that's filthy, let him be filthy still. It's whatever condition they're in. And I know in speaking like I do a lot of times, I'm misunderstood. And I want to make one thing clear. When I was talking this morning, I've mentioned it before how that God could give eternal life to a person at the white throne judgment. Some of those things are my thoughts. That because of the word, they were my thoughts of just, you couldn't find Brother Branham saying that the white throne judgment would be going on and then he'd stop it and give eternal life to your family there. I was hoping that you understood me on that, because it's not that, it's not what the prophet said. He doesn't say it that way. That's what I'm speaking in my own thoughts, of my own revelation of what I saw. See, because Brother Branham shows how that they're given eternal life, and it's the foolish virgin that's given eternal life at the white throne judgment. And we even found that fifth sealed Jew has to receive eternal life at the white throne judgment in the second resurrection. After the millennium's done over and all. See, they'll get eternal life then. But just what I was seeing in my own self, maybe we can look at the message and see that. Because that's just the way I believe. I believe if God can give us the desires of our heart, surely now He could give us the desires of our heart then. But listen, when we sit on that throne in judgment, when we would look at our own family, we would have to look at our own family through the eyes of the just judge, that they turned the word down. But see, we've always just been taught and said if people turn the word down, they're not going to heaven. And there's one great thing in the denominations that's taught that I want to cover just for a minute to where we can see it. They've taught us that, I don't know where you was or not in the Baptist, but they taught us that there ain't nobody going to heaven except through the blood of Jesus Christ. Well, that's true. But it wasn't the way they implied it to be. They implied it that there would only be the people would be there that was born again. See, that's the way it's implied. That there'd only be a group of people there that's born again. They'll say, you ain't going to heaven unless you're born again. Well, now, I hope we've seen from this that foolish, that Jew that's under the fifth seal, they're not born again. And they wind up in heaven. So that ought to take that doctrine out. See, a lot of the doctrine that we had didn't fit the scriptures. Just like you think there in Matthew 25 of the foolish virgin and the wise virgin. Where does that foolish virgin go then? If you'll keep right on reading through Matthew 25, you'll find over at the end of Matthew 25, somewhere in the... I wrote it down where I try to remember it. Just keep on reading through Matthew 25 when you're reading. You've got a couple examples, and then you start back at the white throne judgment, And the prophet of God said that was the white throne judgment on 278 of the church age book, there in Matthew 24, where it speaks of those that would come up and they would be divided as sheep and goats. Would be divided there like that. See, then you go over in Revelations where it would cover that, and you'd pick it up again. That's Matthew 25, 31 through 46. And then you'd pick it up in Revelations 20, verse 11 through 15 of the white throne judgment. See that there'll be somebody given eternal life at that white throne judgment. And it won't be, now, it won't be that here we are, you know, people don't consider the Bible. They don't consider events and things. They think that, well, here we are, and it's just all over with, and we all see Jesus coming in the air. They don't consider then the next service they'll preach is going to be a 3.5-year tribulation. Maybe the next service they'll preach is going to be a millennial reign that we'll reign with Jesus on the earth. Well, then it would have to be that the bride would go into rapture, then there would be a tribulation, then there would be a millennium. See, then it would all come out to fit. But see, there's 1,000 years. Now, the babies are pretty little babies, but the rest of you don't need to play with them or look at them, cut up with them. That's let the ones take care of them, it's got them, okay? That goes for Anna and all of you, because you distract, and then the Holy Spirit can't be satisfied because I can't get my thoughts together. And then you'll wonder why we're here so long tonight. Now, you don't blame me if we do that sometimes. You blame yourself because you get to. You can't help look at the little babies when they laugh and cut up and do things. I ain't saying that, but now you can help concentrating on them or poking at them or doing something trying to get them to come to you. We want the little babies in the service, but we don't want the service interrupted by the little babies. Because it's adults that does it, not the little babies. The little babies don't know. They're just little babies. So now let's just consider that so we can think about what's going on. We're talking about eternal life. I don't believe them little babies will ever get old enough that they'll have to worry about it. That's my personal thought. But you better worry about it because you're old enough. See, you're the one that's got to decide the eternal life in your life. So you better consider your own self. And then I'd listen, see. All right, the foolish virgin, the group we saw, the multitude that we saw this morning, that group will be given eternal life because they give their life for the gospel. Now, did you understand that this morning? The reason they get eternal life is they give their life for the gospel. Now, watch it come down in the message and watch the fifth seal Jew as they get eternal life in their reason. Watch the foolish virgin get eternal life in their reason. All right, then we're comparing it right down that away. And then we'll see why the bride is where she is and what goes on. Because we saw the 144,000, they get the seal of God in the tribulation. They are the one that's redeemed in the tribulation. Then we saw the foolish virgin. The sixth seal shows that they give their life for the gospel, for what they believe. It's not the bride that's there, because the bride's done been gone. We covered Matthew 25 with the oil in the vessel. The others have oil in their lamps, but their lamps went out. See, they could just be anointed ones at the end time. But we found they will be given eternal life because they're clean, they're virgins, they hold on to what they see. I ain't talking about just everybody out there in the denominations is going to heaven or me and you going to heaven. I used to think everybody in the Old Testament that offered a sacrifice went to heaven until I finally saw the Scriptures rightly. If a man didn't offer that sacrifice in faith, believing that sacrifice was for him, it didn't do him any good. So that's what I'm talking about now. It's the group of people, you know, good people out there, I know people that I used to go to church with that the woman said she wasn't, and she's not lazy, said she didn't even make up her beds of a morning if she had an opportunity to go talk to somebody about the Lord. I've eaten their house and sat down with them. They're not dirty people, you know. She's not just lazy and say, I'll use that for an excuse. They're good moral people out there. We make so much fun, I'm going to just say it this way, we make so much fun a lot of times of the Pope of Rome being the Antichrist when probably the morals of his life now. I know a lot of them popes has been all kind of murderers and adulterers and everything in the world. But this Pope we got now, his life might be morally clean more than mine and yours. See, we might ought to consider these things and to see what it really means. But just think about the Jew now. The fifth sealed Jew we found gets eternal life. They don't have the testimony of Jesus Christ, remember? It's for the Word of God and the testimony they hold. All right, then can you see the foolish virgin the same way? That it's for the Word of God and the testimony they hold. Then they give their life for the gospel, for their stand on the Word. In other words, they give their life there on the stand that they take. They miss being in the bride. But yet they give their lives. They see maybe God turning to the Jews. And maybe as they see Him turning to the Jews, they see the church system and what all it comes down to. Because Brother Branham said one of these days they'll come out of them denominations by the thousands. But he said it'd be too late. See, one of these days, maybe they'll see. And what I want us to get to is that it's their stand that they take on the Word when they see. We've all heard about the mark of the beast. People's wondered what it is. The mark of the beast is unbelief. The seal of God is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And we can see that already leading right up to it because the people are the unbelief of the world. Leading right up to the time that the mark of the beast, and listen, just put it in plain language like the prophet said it, if you don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost right here tonight, then you're already marked by the mark of the beast. You realize the Bible says they'll come to a time there that they'll kill God thinking they're doing you a service? They'll kill you thinking they're doing God a service? There's a time comes that people will kill you thinking they're doing God a service. You think they didn't do that back in the Catholic time when they killed those saints? Thinking they were true? What about the Apostle Paul killing the people and on his way down to take the lives of the people? He thought he was doing God a service, didn't he? Getting rid of them fanatics. But listen, that foolish virgin is given eternal life because of the stand they take on the Word. Maybe they'll see that Antichrist. Maybe they'll see what happens when he goes in the temple of God showing himself to be as God. They know that from the Scriptures. They've heard the radio messages. They've heard Brother Branham, like a man the other day sitting at work, across the table from us, talking about the stature of a perfect man in 2 Peter. And Dick and Al and myself were sitting there looking at each other grinning because we knew he'd read it or heard it somewhere. Because the reason we knew, he brought the word out that Brother Branham used on the stature of a perfect man that no denominational person would ever know, like temperance. You look it up in the dictionary, that means not drinking liquor. Too much liquor, you know. He brought it out at temperance meant your temper. Controlling it. Well, we knew right where he's reading from. See, they've heard about the message. They've heard about the mark of the beast. And when they see those things, they are, now watch this. We said this morning our message was covering how that they would know who we were, even in eternity, that they'd know we were the bride and they'd know they had that they had got there because we fell and they came to the place where they were. Well, just think. There's only one seed, Christ. Now watch and you'll see Christ come forth and how that they do get to heaven under the blood of Jesus Christ. There's only one seed, Galatians 3:16. then where would you foolish virgin and your 144,000 and all of that group of Israel and all, where would that come in at then? You ever heard the prophet speak of the remnant of the woman's seed? How that in Revelations 12, read 7 through 17 of Revelations 12, how that when it comes to that time that Satan casts the spurts out water after the multitudes of people, after those who would not come in. That's your foolish virgin. I've got the page numbers if you want them where the prophet said the remnant there in Revelations 12, he said that's the foolish virgin. He spurts out water. Well, see, then what's 144,000? That's the remnant of the bride. What's Israel? That's the remnant of the bride. What's the foolish virgin? That's the remnant of the bride. What's all of it? The remnant. Except the bride of Jesus Christ. See, it would be a remnant. Now, what does he mean by a remnant? What did the prophet talk about the remnant of the woman's seed? And maybe we'll see how that it does come down through there that people can be given eternal life. My wife asked me on the way home today how some things could be, and we were referring to a certain lady that she said I could see how she could be given eternal life because she's a good, clean person. She lives down in Maysville. She's always lived the Pentecostal message as far as the hair and the dress and the makeup and the things like that. She's always been a nice-looking woman. Always lived morally clean. But if that woman won't accept the Word, she's got the devil in her soul, but her body is following the Word. How could she do that? She's anointed on her spirit. She follows the Word. Well, there's no difference in her and a rank sinner out there, except she's a religious order of a person. Then if she could go to heaven being that away, then a rank sinner could be given eternal life one of these days. That was what I was basing on what I said this morning. That's why I base it that God can give eternal life at the white throne judgment to those he desires to give it to. Because as I said, the potter has power over the clay to make what he wants. But now, think about the remnant of the woman's seed. You remember what the prophet used to explain remnant? He said, like you ladies want a dress. He said, you take a piece of material, and he said, you lay it out, and he said, you cut out you a dress out of a pattern, you know. And see, that's what you use to make the dress. The rest that's left over is called the remnant. Now, you ladies know that, say, you're going to make a dress, and you're going to make it out of polyester. I hope I get that material right. I'm not too good at all this stuff. I can't match brown and green, let alone anything else. But say it's going to be made out of polyester. Well, now, is what you cut out of that piece of material, say you lay out one that's 40 inches and you need only 25 inches of material. Well, then you've got 15 inches left over, maybe 7.5 inches on each side, ever how you cut. Is that other material, is that silk? Or is the whole piece of material polyester? And then you choose what you want to use out of it. See, that's the way the prophet of God explains the remnant to be of the woman's seed. That it's just different ways of being used. Now, what do you ladies do with that remnant? I know what my wife used to do. She'd buy a piece of material, pretty good size. She'd make her a dress out of it. Well, then she'd have a pretty good little bit of material left over. She just didn't throw that in the garbage can. She'd take that remnant, and she'd make Anna a little dress, just like hers. Out of the remnant now. You know, then she still had little material pieces left over. You know what she done with that? You ladies know you take them little pieces of material and you put them together and after a while you got a big old quilt, ain't you? Then you don't just throw the material away, do you? Because it's remnant. But do you see what I was talking about by that? How that then there is difference of degrees down through there? But it's the same seed that brings it all to pass. Christ. Then everything outside the bride is a remnant. And see that foolish virgin, all that's a remnant.
But it's not just thrown away. It's the same material, but it's not chosen for the specific job that you want it to be. And there's a bride chosen to be a bride. Now, doesn't the Bible speak of God doing the choosing? It's not us that chooses, it's Him that does the choosing. Is that scriptural? I may not have the scripture quoting exactly right, but I'll quote it this way. Many are called, but few are chosen. There's even a lot that'll call and come around, but they won't be even the chosen part. But God chooses for a bride out of this piece of material. The remnant makes another piece of something out of it. The remnant of that, the remnant, until you wind up with a quilt to cover the whole thing up with. See, out of that natural illustration, you ought to see that God can have this group that He gives eternal life because they've already got it here, the bride of Christ. The next group comes up. They don't have eternal life while they're here. They have to be given eternal life somewhere else. All right? They go somewhere else, they get eternal life. They go to the white throne judgment. Eternal life comes there. All right? Then the bride of Christ, see, then it's the main piece, but the rest fits in with it. So it's all Christ that takes you to heaven, man. It's all through the blood of Jesus Christ, regardless of who's doing what or what's going on. See, then it comes to a place. It's the things that we've been taught is what it is. Now, if you'll watch this later when we come back to the next message, maybe the Lord willing, you'll see there's some things got to be purged out of us. There's some things that we've been taught and different things that's got to be purged out. Like I said, it's been taught to us, you ain't going to heaven unless you're born again. Well, now, we found that there's going to be a lot of people in heaven that's not born again, like down here on the earth. They get it later. That's what the white throne judgment is for. You remember the Bible says there in Matthew 24, it says they'll be separated as sheep and goats. It's not even sheep. Sheep is the bride of Christ. They've always referred to as a bride of Christ. But it says there that this group of people are as sheep. See, they're not sheep. They're not born again. They wouldn't be at judgment if they was born again. So that means that a lot of people are going to get to heaven, don't they? But you just read those scriptures, Matthew 25, 31, and there's something else I want you to remember as we go through. This morning I quoted to you a wrong page number. I quoted to you 431 of the seal book as where they said in these meetings, and that's 441, but I gave it on the last meetings correctly because I checked my notes. But in case you hear the tape or anything, you get mixed up and can't find what I'm hunting, just read back and forth. You'll find it somewhere. But listen, it don't matter whether you're this, that, or the other, or what group you are, you do get there through the blood of Jesus Christ. But somehow that blood of Jesus Christ applied here and get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Some are good moral people. Love God. Because you don't love with your soul, you love with your spirit. That's one of the sins. You remember the body? See, taste, feel, smell, and hear. There ain't nothing there to love with. You can display it with that. Then you've got love, memory, reason, conscience, and affection. Has on your spirit. You love with your spirit. So you can love God and still be lost. But the soul is the Word. The true genuine is the Word. Now, here's what we want to take up tonight. If you can see from that, I just wanted to say that because I thought if there's confusion there, maybe we need to cover it a little more. As I ended up this morning, I said, these people that we saw on this sixth seal are in the tribulation period for a purpose. That was the last statement this morning on the message. That they was there for a purpose. Now, think about it. Maybe if we'll look at what takes place to them under the sixth seal, maybe we'll see something that's taking place now to us. It would be good for you to write that down and then listen to the message again if you miss what I'm talking about. that if we'll watch what purpose this is, if we'll watch the purpose of why these people are in the tribulation, you can say, well, 144,000, they got to go in there to get eternal life. That's all right. But why is the foolish virgin there? Maybe if we'll look at them, we can see us. Maybe if we'll look at the purpose they are there, maybe we can see ourselves then. So let's just look first at the purpose of the foolish virgin being in the tribulation. Let's just see if we can see what purpose there is. Now, I might read just a little bit of a page. If you're going to follow along, somebody maybe bring your seal book. I might read just a little few sketches out of a page, and then go back later and read the whole page. You know. So I'll just pick maybe out something. On page 575 of the seal book, he says, "We find also in this that the sixth seal now being opened, it was for a threefold purpose." Now here was the purpose. Now he said it's for a threefold purpose. Now he's going to explain the purpose. Now we want to take the foolish virgin first. So what's the purpose of the foolish virgin being in the tribulation? The first thing was that the sleeping virgin had to go through the tribulation period for purification. Right? They're not under the blood of Jesus Christ. Something's got to happen. They have some things left. We're talking about the foolish virgin now. If you'll watch this, maybe you can see why it's placed this way and why some will go to heaven and what happens to them and the reason they get there. Because we see first it's for the sleeping virgin to go through the tribulation period for purification. Now the bride of Christ don't go through the tribulation because she has nothing to be purified from. The blood of Jesus Christ purified her. But, the foolish virgin is not under the blood. She's believing in the blood, but she's not under it. 545. Now we open, get to the seal. Did you notice they first, we start now, Israel. Then we see the purged church, not the bride, the purged church by tribulation coming up here. Great number of real sincere hearts that come up out of the great tribulation. Not the church, it's gone, the bride. See, not the bride, the church. He says they're purged, the purged church by tribulation. Now what's the purpose then of the church being in the tribulation, the foolish virgin? It's for a purification. It's for a purging, just to make sure that we have enough of it. Look back at the sixth seal. That's on the seventh seal, if you know your seal book. On the sixth seal on page 409, it says, "Now remember when these things happen, the bride won't be here. Just remember, the bride is gone. She don't have to go through any of it. This is the time of the tribulation of the purification of the church. It's put up on her for her to go through, not the bride. He takes his sweetheart off the way. He's done redeemed her, not the bride. But it's put up on her to go through." What's it put up on her for? What's the purification put there for? They claim to believe in the blood of Jesus Christ, just like you claim to believe in the blood of Jesus Christ. They claim to be religious, just like you claim to be religious. But there's something there they've got to be purged from. Maybe we better watch ourselves going through this. We might find out we're foolish virgins and need a little purging. Because the bride of Jesus Christ, there's certain things, as we'll cover later, maybe of doctrinal points, but the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Now, just watch it. There must be something left in the foolish virgin that has to be cleaned. There has to be something there that needs to be a purging. The Bible says, purge out that old leaven. What does it say over there about come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her plagues? You got to come out of that or you'll go right in there with it and have to be purged with it. It's for our purification. You say, yes, but she believes in Jesus Christ, just like I believe in Jesus Christ. Well, you better check how you believe in Jesus Christ. You might ought to check that then. Watch what it's for now. Get back to 575. We'll read the rest of the page. Watch what it's for. Now we find out also in this that the sixth seal now, being opened, it was for a threefold purpose. Now here was the purposes. The first thing that the sleeping virgin had to go through the tribulation period for purification, she had to be purged of her sins of unbelief and rejecting the message. Now think. This foolish virgin has to go through the tribulation to be purged. What's she going to be purged from? Listen. Of her sins of unbelief. What's she in the tribulation period for? Because of her unbelief. And her rejecting the message. Now, have you done that? Has the people of this last day turned down the message? Well, they might be bound towards the tribulation then. That's me and you or whoever it would be. If we reject the message, we go to the tribulation because that's what the tribulation is for, is the purging of the person of that. The bride of Jesus Christ judges herself according to the Scriptures. See, in the communion message, it says, for to judge yourself, lest you be judged. In other words, don't you'd be condemned with the world. But if you'll judge yourself, you won't. See, then there is a reason for that tribulation period. It's not just that we look at it and say, well, that's Israel and that's the tribulation and that's gone. There is a reason for the tribulation period. And the first thing we see is the foolish virgin. The reason they're there is for their purging because they're not under the blood of Jesus Christ. Then they have unbelief. They have sins left that has to be purged. They're there because they reject God. You say they reject God claiming to believe Him. That's what the Scripture says. That in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of man. You know what the Scripture says? In vain they do worship me. Their worship is in vain. What? Teaching for doctrine the commandments of man. They turn down the message of the hour wherever they're living. And there's a foolish virgin in every church age. I can show that to you from the prophet if you'd like it. Not just the end time, but every age had virgins that come down. See, then there's a foolish virgin in this last days that has sins of unbelief. They even reject the message. You say if they reject the message, they go to hell. It's according to how they reject it. God's the one that judges that. Like I said, it's not cause me walk up to a Baptist preacher, a Methodist, a Presbyterian. You've been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. No, well, you reject the message. The way you reject the message and go to hell for it is when you see it's right and won't do it. When you see the Word and it tells you what to do and you won't do it, then that right there can take you to hell because you're not only just rejecting it, you're turning it down. You don't want the atonement that's made for you. And judgment waits on you then. You're bound into the judgment because you've turned down the mercy. It's when you see it in the Word and somebody reads it to you right out of the Word, and you laugh and say, I don't want to have nothing to do with that old stuff. I ain't talking about that type of person. Now, there's a woman I remember that Brother Branham spoke of about how that she wouldn't have her cow to how that religion that Brother Branham had. She died shortly after crying for him to come. She turned the message down. She'll go to hell for it. But it's got to be showed to the person, and then they see it in the Word and turn it down. Then they're Word rejectors, and Word rejectors go to hell. But just because you tell somebody about it and they can't believe it, that doesn't mean that they're lost. I never try to judge anybody or anything out there or anything, even giving away books. I know people have given you a book and they say, they'll call you up or tell you later, say, you ain't going to read that, bring it back to me. Well, I never ask for a book back. Now, if you're going to burn them or throw them away or something, bring them back to me. I'll give them to somebody else. But I leave you with them books. You know why? Because what would happen if your family come to your house after you were raptured out of here and got your books and read them and read your Bible and notes you had written about Jesus Christ and remembered the life you lived and the things you had tried to tell them about the real gospel, and they read the books you read then and then see that the Antichrist is standing there and then give their life for the gospel? I don't want a book back as long as you ain't going to burn it. I never asked for them back. Why? Because they might read these books one of these days. My family thinks I'm crazy. Sure they do. They think I'm a religious fanatic. Sure. But what if I come up missing and all at once some of them got a little concerned? They might get in my house, and I hope they do, and read the books that I've read. And they've heard me talk about these plagues that's falling and these things that's happening and all that's going on and how there was a prophet in the land. They've heard me tell about that. Maybe they'll read that and give their life for the gospel. Maybe that's how they get that. Maybe that's how they learn who the Antichrist is. But just think now. She goes there. Brother Branham says, now watch him. She had to be purged of her sins of unbelief and rejecting the message. This she was done in the tribulation period. We see they wind up over here in Revelation 7 between the 6th and 7th chapter here that she had been purged and she'd been given robes. Now that's not the bride, but it's the church. The pure people that didn't have the opportunity maybe to receive the message or in some way that they were blinded by these false prophets. They didn't get a chance. And yet they're really sincere in heart, and God knows their heart, and here they're purged during this time. Now, they're purged during that time. The difference in the two, she don't have oil in her vessel. The bride has oil in the vessel. They just can't see the Word. They just can't seem to catch it. They don't see it and understand it. Maybe they've heard it. And maybe they have to give their lives. Maybe, as I said, one of these days they'll want to know what you had to say about it. And they might read it and see who the Antichrist really is. They might remember talking to you. Brother Brown said they'll come out of there by the thousands one of these days, but it'll be too late. I believe he said it'll be too late to make it in the rapture. One man spoke of how Brother Brown said there one of these days he'd need help all over the world seemingly to baptize the converts that would come out. It might be done too late now. It might be too late right now for you to come in. That's left up to God, not me and you. Then we better consider it. What if we've turned it down? What if me and you's turned it down? Then where are we bound for? It'd be a bad thing for me to turn it down. I'd be in bad shape. Now, do you see why Israel's in the tribulation? For the purging. The bride's purged by the blood of Jesus Christ. But that shows you the foolish virgin has something's not purged. She's not under the blood of Jesus Christ. She believes in it. But the blood's not on her. She don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now let's pick up Israel, because he said there's three purposes there. One we found is the foolish virgin. What's the second purpose now? You notice another purging time. This is still 575. That's for Israel when she gathers. That's the second fold. First fold was the foolish virgin. Second fold is Israel. God purges Israel in the tribulation period. Now watch him, 555. That was 575. Before I read this, how many knows what he covered here on the foundation? Or do you know what he covered on the foundation for the seventh seal? In Ezekiel, you'll find, and this is from 550 of the seal book on through, to about 555. In Ezekiel, you find that there was a place there that God commanded them to make no images whatsoever. And the king got concerned. You'll find it in Deuteronomy and the different ones. But over in 1 Kings, the 12th chapter, you'll find that this Jeroboam built Shechem and Mount Ephraim and dwelt therein and went out from thence and bit Peniel. And Jeroboam said in his heart, see, imagination of his heart, now shall the kingdom return to the house of David. At that time, the kingdom was split. Two tribes were here, 10 tribes were over here. This Jeroboam was king over one side of that. He was afraid they'd all want to go back up to Jerusalem to worship. So what did he do? Then shall the heart of the people turn. So what did the king do? Whereupon the king took counsel and made two calves of gold. Now watch why that Israel's got to be purged 144,000. And made two calves of gold and said unto them, it is too much for you to go to Jerusalem. Behold thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And he set the one in Bethel, and the other he put in Dan, and this thing became a sin. I'm reading the scripture there in Kings. For the people went to worship before the one, even unto Dan. Now, read, we read them this morning. Read Revelation 7, and you find Dan and Ephraim are not there in Revelation 7. But read in Ezekiel 48, and you'll find that in the millennial reign, Dan and Ephraim are put back in. Joseph and Levi are in there in Revelation 7. Why is that out of order? Why is it that in the millennium you'll have Joseph and Levi taken out and Dan and Ephraim put in when they're not listed there in Revelation 7? The bride don't have nothing to be purged from. She's gone. But the church has to be purged from their sin of unbelief. Is that right? And we just covered that. Now we see Israel here, when they're fixing to come in, back there when the commandment was given, it said to have no other gods, because if he did, he'd take your name out under heaven. If you know the message from the seal book, when Dan and Ephraim went to worship these golden calves that were made, God took their names out of the book of life under heaven. And Revelation 7 is still in the tribulation, and Dan and Ephraim is missing. Read your Bible. Watch how perfect. We think we get by. It's in here, Brother Brown. Read this. Read from 550 on to 555 of the seal book. Brother Brown said, we think we get by with things. But he said, God remembers everything. He remembers his blessings and his cursing. He remembers his curses too. See, we think we get by. Like I said the other day, we do something and it a little bothers a little bit, and then after a while, we think, oh, everything's all right now. I got by with that. Now think, church, a heavenly God that would think so much of his Bible, that he would say, you worship an idol, your name will be taken out of the book of life under heaven, talking to Israel. And when it comes to the tribulation period, Dan and Ephraim went up to those caves and worshiped. And when they did, those two tribes were deleted out of there. Their names were taken off. And you don't find them under the records of God while they're under heaven. Because he told them not to do it and they done it, and it comes over here some 4,000 years probably later. And God still remembers that when he goes into the tribulation, he leaves Dan and Ephraim out of the 12 tribes of Israel. Then we think we can get by with something. God's got a pretty good memory, ain't he? 4,000 years he still remembers that. But listen, when they're purged of their sin of unbelief and you go to the millennium, in Revelation 14 and Ezekiel 48, Dan and Ephraim are put back in. And Joseph and Levi are left out. Because it said while they were under heaven, their name would be taken out. But listen, the prophet says in the seal book, listen, this is 555. Notice he blotted them out under the heavens, but the Gentiles, that's us, in the days of the Holy Ghost, against that your name was taken completely off of the book of life. And could never have forgiveness in this world or the world to come. See, we're not Jews. We're not in the promise. We do wrong, our name taken out of the book of life totally. But just think now, why has Israel got to be purged? That's got to be purged out right there. When they worshiped those idols of Dan and Ephraim, their name was left out. When you go to the tribulation, Brother Branham says they're put right in there. 555. When he called 144,000, they were missing. They're not even numbered in there. And Joseph and Levi is put in the place of Dan and Ephraim. Now you can look at that. Right there it is before you. And here's God's promise way back here hundreds and hundreds of years before that. Now what happened? They were purged during the time. Listen. They were purged during the time of the awful tribulation period. Now if God's going to purge that virgin that was a good woman, now, who's he talking about? Foolish virgin. It's a good woman. But she just failed to get oil in her lamp. If he's going to purge her, now watch his next word. He's going to purge her through persecution in there. He puts them tribes right in there for the same thing. And purges them during the time of the tribulation period because it's a purging, it's judgment. But you see, they look here. Here comes up 144,000. After the purging of Israel, that's over there in your scripture. And here comes up also the sleeping virgin comes up purged and has on white robes. So it's for the same thing that the two are purged. The sin of unbelief. The unbelief of the Jew when he went up there and worshiped the idols. That's got to be purged. The unbelief of the Gentiles when they went to denominational idols. You say, how would them people that are good, holy people out there, what are they believing? They come down with a denominational idea of the Trinitarian doctrine, believing in God in three persons and Trinitarian, till a man at work one time told me, he said, you better be careful believing in them, in that old one God. He said, you're going to blaspheme the Holy Ghost. I said, for believing one God, I'm going to blaspheme? He said, yes, because there's three gods. There's got to be. I said, then who created who? If there's three gods, one of them had to create the other two and had to leave them out, then they wouldn't be gods, would they? That's sensible. I don't take no revelation, does it? But you know, you can't get that to him. He said, oh, there's got to be three gods. Well, do you know what's got to be purged out of the foolish virgin then? The Trinitarian doctrine. They don't believe God to be who he is. What's to be purged out of the Jews? You know, the Jews don't believe God to be who he is either, do they? Do they believe in Jesus Christ to be the Messiah? No. That's got to be purged then, ain't it? Then there's a Trinitarian doctrine of gods. Israel went to their gods when they made the golden calves, didn't they? I read it to you there. In the Kings. That's why they got to be purged. The Gentiles went to their gods, the Trinitarian doctrine. They've got to be purged of that. That unbelief's got to be purged out. Now here's the third one. First, foolish virgin, he said three purposes. First, a foolish virgin. Second, to Israel. The next is the world. The world's got to be purged. 575 of the seal book. And there is a whole earth is to be purged. There will be such a thing that the moon, stars, and nature will be purged. You see what it is? The earth is renewing herself, being purged, getting ready for the millennium. The millennium's coming up, and see, everything that's got any filth is to be purged during the sixth seal. The world's got to be purged. You ever notice on the sixth seal message when Brother Brown was talking about the filth of the United States? You know, the Bible says that God will destroy those who destroy the world. And you think about, he said about the Indian out here that were Geronimo, he said, I count him a gentleman. He is fighting for his God-given rights. We call him a renegade, don't we? The white man's a renegade. Geronimo out there fighting for his God-given rights. You think you wouldn't do it? You think if you had territory and here come in a bunch of drunken, raveling idiots that would kill anything in their sights called the white man and kill out the buffalo and drive the poor old Indian to the place that he had nothing to eat? Brother Branham said, that's a stain on the American flag and we'll pay for it one of these days. And he said, slavery raised right before this United States because of that. Those Indians were fighting for their God-given rights. You know why Custer went in and had his last stand? We've all seen great movies and everything. Custer got drunk. They told him to stay out of there. Custer got drunk and went riding in there, and when he did, the Indians come down and got him. He was wanting to drive them off of their land. What happened to Israel? Israel come into the land and drove out the inhabitants and wound up in trouble for it, didn't he? What's happened to the United States? American Indian, that was his land. This land belonged to him. We drove him back on a reservation and give him the white man's white lightning and all of the crooks and the... As Brother Branham said, I'd like to seen it back there when it was nothing but the old Indian as he rode down through those deserts and mountains and things. You just think through here what it would be like. I love to get out in the woods and hunt. And I hate to go to a section of woods and hunt and find there that you drive out into the woods maybe a quarter of a mile or half a mile and there's a dump where somebody's carried refrigerators and stoves and garbage and just throwed them out right in the middle of the woods. When all they'd had to done, now I've been places where they've carried it and throwed it out that they wouldn't be a mile to a dumpster down the road if they could have put their trash in. But the white man is just a renegade. He's a rascal and he'll pay for it. I've always been ridiculed for my stand for truth. But you read the sixth seal and see what the prophet says about it. How that even the white man killed all of the buffalo and then turns around and talks about the white man today killing off all the deer. And he said they'll shoot anything. Kill four, five, six does and leave them running around with their babies hunting their mamas. And he said kill them out of season or just kill anything. And then I get ridiculed because of believing the truth. I want to be so sanctified by this word one of these days until God can come on the scene, and that's what I'm getting to. That's what we'll get to, the Lord willing. We keep on preaching that somewhere down the line God will so sanctify a group of people and they'll be living so clean, not in their own selves, you can't do it, but in Jesus Christ they'll be living so clean and holy and righteous in God until God will come on the scene. Now that's what I'm headed to, because that's got to be there, because if it is, if this is your leading up to it, then it's got to be there. But what's the purpose of purging the world? What's it to do? 432, 433, all nature lets loose and purges the world with earthquakes and great troubles and things that's happening there because of sinful man that has polluted the world. Brother Brandon said one of these days she'll reel and rock with earthquakes and there'll be volcanoes belch up from the middle of the earth and she'll bring herself in there for the millennium. Read that off of 4, 4:39 and 4:40, how that there has to be birth pains in the world right today. And read the message, the world falling apart. How that they've taken out all of the things out of the world, and the world just falling apart. And she's going to crumble one of these days, and God will rock her backwards and forth with earthquakes and belch her out there until He'll cleanse this world from the ungodly, sinful things of man. As far as man's been down in the earth, she'll be purged one of these days. As far as it's been into the heavens, she'll be purged one of these days. Because sin has to be purged. And the sixth seal is what purges it. The sixth seal is what takes care of it. All nature lets loose. See, the judgment of God begin to fall upon man, foolish virgins, 144,000, for their purging, and also upon the earth, to purge that earth. Now, I'll give you these as I go down, but you read them out of the seal book, if you will. 4:39 and 4:40 talks about how that there'll be a world is groaning and paining now, for a millennium to come in. She's got to be clean for the millennium to come in. You can't go in, as I said today, the Jehovah Witness said they just go along, you know, we just start building cars tomorrow. You ain't going to be no cars built in the millennium. Ain't going to be none of that. There ain't going to be no sin there. Satan's going to be bound and things will be a whole lot different. There won't be no problems there. Even the Bible speaks of how a child put his hand on the hole of a ash den or a deadly serpent, a snake that could kill you of some type. It won't bother him. The lion will be there and the bear, the lamb will feed together. How many of you have ever read the comic strip about the phantom in the newspapers? He's got a place called Eden over there. Sure is odd. He calls it the Isle of Eden, and he takes these animals that are so mean over there, and all at once they just become this. Nothing. They won't kill no more. Man wants that, don't he? Well, it's headed that way. Listen, this sixth seal that we see of a purging or a cleansing has been spoken of in the Bible through prophecies. Isaiah saw it, 4:36, 4:37. Isaiah saw it, and when Isaiah saw it, he said it was in pain to be delivered like a woman with a child. Was in pain to be delivered. And in that prophecy, he covers the tribulation period getting ready for the millennium. Read it right out of the seal book if you want to. If you want me to read it, I'll read it to you. Of the cleansing of the land. Isaiah spoke of it. He wrote a complete Bible. And the sixth seal is there in the book of Isaiah that he wrote of it. 4:36. Let's see if I can even give you the scripture in case you won't go home and read the Bible. I mean, read the prophet's message. Isaiah, the 13th chapter. How ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand, it shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. There shall all hands be faint, and every man's heart shall melt, and they shall be afraid. Pains and sorrow shall take hold of them. They shall be in pain as a woman that travaileth. They shall be amazed one at another. Their faces shall be as flames. Behold, the Lord cometh, cruel both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate. And he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. Now ain't that the tribulation? Ain't that what we've been talking about will happen? For the stars of heaven and the constellation thereof shall not give their light. You remember what Jesus happened right there when Jesus was dying on Calvary, how the sun went down in the middle of the day? It was also prophesied right there and showed right in the scriptures that the sixth seal and what it would do. I will punish the world for their evil and the wicked for their iniquity. And I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. You just read through your Bible what will happen. Isaiah saw the same thing Jesus spoke of. Jesus spoke of it in Matthew 24. Of the sixth seal. Read it. Matthew 24. Of how that it comes in. It was typed out in Jacob's trouble. 4:28, 4:29, the seal book. Typed in Jacob's trouble. You remember when Jacob, his brother Esau, was after him after he'd stole the birthright from him? You've heard us speak about that? And Jacob went down there and stole his cattle from his old daddy-in-law and took the poplar sticks and made them house speckled calves Still showed he was messed up, didn't he? But he got into trouble on his way home. He wanted to go home. And Jacob's trouble is shown as the sixth seal, because that's what he done. He wrestled with the Lord, with the angel of the Lord there, Jacob did, until the angel changed his name. And Israel in the tribulation, two witnesses will wrestle until they call out 144,000. They wrestle with God that long. It's typed or shown in Daniel where he saw the end. Read the book of Daniel, especially the last chapter. That's on 430 and 431 of the seal book, where Daniel spoke of the end time. And spoke how that it would come to a tribulation period. Then read 429 through 436. All the way through, and look how it was typed in Jacob. As I said, on his way home, wrestling with the angel in trouble. Jacob's trouble. Typed down in Egypt. This sixth seal was typed down in Egypt. When Moses was on his way out of Egypt, what happened to the last thing? Plague struck Egypt. Moses and Elijah, as those two witnesses over in the tribulation, can call down fire out of heaven, do anything they want to. Moses has done it one time back yonder. He knows how to do it. And Moses, when he was coming out of Egypt, what happened? Read your Bible there, what happened down in Egypt, that there was darkness over the land for 3 days, that the sun didn't shine. Darkness that could be felt, the Bible says. What did we read, how the sun and the moon and the things would be under the sixth seal and what would happen to them? What happened there in Egypt? What happened in the cross when Jesus was dying that day? The sun went down in the middle of the day and the moon refused to give its light, and a great earthquake happened when Jesus died on Calvary. Typed out right in the scriptures, ain't it? Typed out in the cross, typed out in Egypt, typed out in Daniel, typed out in Jacob's trouble. Coming right down to where we are now, and fixing to come into a tribulation period. A purging. As I said now, we'll see from what happens to them what has to happen to us. The Lord willing, the next message we'll try to take up something about our purging. Maybe we can see the sixth seal does have something to do with us. Brother Branham said the church in its condition was in no way to bring on the second coming of Jesus Christ. Is that what he said about it? Then something's got to happen unto us. Israel in the tribulation becomes so purged until God comes on the scene. I covered that with you last time. Something's got to happen to us that'll bring us to a place that we're so purged until God can come on the scene. You know what you can go home and take that and do? You can go home and think all you want to, but think on that until we speak the next time. But don't think on it like a lot of people would think. Boy, bless God, I'm purged. I heard Brother Dale say that the bride of Jesus Christ is so purged. Sure we are. But there's a scripture that fits in there. I had to take a little ride yesterday before I caught it. Took a little ride over in the country and back, just riding around. And just right while I was riding, not even thinking about that scripture, all at once here comes a scripture. Why did Jesus say, the prince that cometh hath nothing in me? I can't say that today, can you? You think because you're born again that the prince of this world don't have nothing in you? Jesus said, the prince of this world has nothing in me. He was virgin born. He wasn't born in a perversion like me and you. You say, I've already been sanctified, Brother Dale. I've been purged and set clean. Sure, that's for your soul. What about the rest of it? How about all them channels and them flues that stopped up with doctrines? And how about all of that life that you need purged and cleaned out? How about all of that little malice and envy and strife and all of them things that you have
left. We better come to a place of seeing what the purging is under the sixth seal, or we don't get out of here. We've done seen it to Israel. We've done seen it to the foolish virgin. We've done seen it to the world. You read the page numbers I give you and you'll get a whole lot more than what I got out of it. Read the sixth seal and then turn over and read the beginning there right before the seventh seal is spoken of. And see if he don't talk of a purging. But do you see what it is? It's a purging. They're put in there for a purging. That means if something's got to be purged. If you don't purge something, it's already purged. You don't purge something that's already clean. You don't wash something and get it really clean and then burn it to make sure there ain't a germ in it, and then you have to burn it again. So there must have been something left. And we see that it was that he said about the foolish virgins that it was their sin of unbelief and rejecting the message. They got to be purged from that. We see that it was the 144,000 that the names of two of the tribes was took out back there because of their unbelief, and something's got to be purged where they can be put back in. And we found the world has to be purged of all sin before the millennium can come in, because sin won't go into the millennium. You won't have no sin in the millennium. Brother Brown says, one of these days, on one of the page numbers I gave you, 440, I think, he said, one of these days, the bride of Christ will come back to the earth in a paradise. That's just into the millennium. It'll be a paradise. It'll be another Garden of Eden. Sin won't be there. But what about me and you now? Have we got anything tonight that we need purged from? Or do we think we're already purged? And if we know the message right, then we know that by the baptism of the Holy Ghost, your soul is already clean. You don't have nothing in there to be purged from. But there's sure a lot of the rest of me left that needs a lot of purging. Study on that until the next message, or the next time we speak. Because it takes a purging. The world is in pain. Read birth pains to go along with it. To be delivered. Joyce, would you come? Let's stand together. Father, we pray that these words would not return unto thee void, but accomplish that which they were spoken for. We've given three examples, and the Scripture said, let everything be proved in the mouth of two or three witnesses. We've seen that in the witnesses here, that there was something left there that needed to be purged out. Lord, if there's anything in our lives, and we know they are because you can't come on the scene rightly into us, then purge it out. A judgment must begin at the house of the Lord. And if the righteous be scarcely saved, where will a sinner and ungodly appear? Help us now. Forgive our sins. If there's any here that has any need, Lord, let it be given unto them. In Jesus' name. Let's just sing a hymn if anyone has a need. Then let's try number 24, George. What a day that will be. There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day, that will be. What a day that will be, when my Jesus I shall see, and I look
upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through that promised land, what a day. Anyone have a need now? The altar's open. That will be, think about yourself now. There will be no sorrows there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day, that will be. What a day. Anyone have a need now while we pray with our sister? You want a purging in your life? Take out what's in your life. It causes judgment if you don't. You get judgment if you don't get cleaned out. Then just pray with our sister and then we'll all pray together. Father, our sister has asked for a purging in her life of the things that she would have, if anything, that would be contrary to you or she wouldn't miss it. Lord, I raise my hand because also I see a purging in my life from the sin, the unbelief of the things that you have said this our day, from the lives that we live today before our brethren and our sisters and the world out there as we live before them. We ask you to purge us so that they can see Christ in us. Help us, Lord, in Jesus' name. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. Then he takes me by the hand and leads me through that promised land. What a day, glorious day, that
appreciate each one of you being out. Just remember, pray one for another. Pray that the Lord would guide us. It's like we got through just in time to get a good soaking to go out because it started raining. Maybe the showers of blessings will fall on us that way. Because, church, I want to be purged. You think about that until we speak on it. I want to be so purged in my life that others can see Jesus in me. That others can see that and want to be like it. Because on earth I long to be like him. And just think about it now. Will my life show Jesus to the world? Them poor old people. I had it in my notes to bring out tonight. You think about this. Them poor old people, they can't understand, but they'll make fun of you and the life you live. But yet, some of them are old enough to know that 30, 40 years ago, they lived that kind of life. I look around a lot of times at the elderly people, and I think about them, how that the lives that some of those elderly women, you know that there's a lot of women won't go to church, elderly women won't go to church unless they got a hat on their head. You ever notice that? They know the Bible says they got to have a covering. But they don't believe that their hair is their covering. So they cut their hair off and go to church with a hat on. They won't go to church without a hat on. And they look their best. They put on their longest dresses and try to look decent when they go to church. But what about the rest of the week? I thought the church was all the time. I thought it's what you
believed and lived all the time that counted. I want to see Christ so much in each one of us until he can just come on the scene right in our hearts and lives, that others can see Jesus in us and want to be like it. That's what I want to do. If it takes a purging, then purge us, Lord. Bring the judgments upon us, not the tribulation. You know, not going through the tribulation, but bring on us the judgments of the Word that will straighten up. Where's the day of the longing and the crying and the sighing? I remember in years ago as just a little Baptist lad going to church that they would meet before service ever happened, and they had a section of woods that the ladies went to, and they had a section of woods over here that the men went to, and you could get there early and you could hear them down in the woods praying and crying for God to save the people. They wasn't worried about ticks and chiggers and lice and snakes. They were praying to the God that would take care of them. Where's the longing and the sighing and the crying in the hearts of the people? Or has it just become a debate among people in the message of whether I'm right or you're right? I wrote two letters just the other day and sent them to two brothers and asked them to forgive me of anything I had done because I knew they had something against me. And I didn't do anything to them that I know of. I left it on the message to them that if they wanted to come and talk about it, they'd feel free to. But it didn't make no difference if I'd said anything or done anything to cause them to be offended at me to forgive me. Never get to the place that you can't ask somebody to forgive you. Because if you won't forgive and won't ask like that, you can't be forgiven, the Scripture says. Always have a repentant heart. Even if you're right. You say, if I'm right, bless God, I ain't going to repent. I've asked people to forgive me when I knowed I was right. And I was trying to help them. And I've still asked them to forgive me. And I'll continue to do that, the Lord willing. I don't never want Him to let me get to the place that I won't be that I can say that even if what I've said to you has hurt your feelings, just like the little children tonight, they can't help doing that, but the grown-ups can. If I offended you with that, then I'm sorry. But now the truth, you'll have to answer that. See, you have to answer for the other part of it. But I'll still say I'm sorry if I offend you, because I don't want you offended at me. I don't know where it bothers you that way. A little something happened at work the other day, and I thought a man got mad at me. I'd do anything in the world that I could. It wasn't anything wrong, any bad thing or something. Just a little something happened that I thought he got mad at me, and if I'd do anything in the world to tell that man that I didn't want him mad at me. Because I don't want nobody offended at me. The Bible says, if you think your brother hath aught against you, it don't matter if he comes and tell you, he's got to say, if you think your brother hath aught against you, then get it straight. But see, I always try to be that way, and I hope you'll do that. Then we can get rid of that great pride that we have. Anybody have anything to say before we dismiss? If not, let's just pray together. Father, dismiss us from the service, but never from your fellowship. Guide us by your grace. Lord, just help June yonder with the delivery of the baby. Let everything be all right. Lord, speak to them through that they'll see Jesus is with them and that they need to come to the Lord. Guide all of us together in you as we dismiss. Take care of the people on the highway. Supply every need in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed. Take the name of Jesus with you.